We are in the midst of the season of Pentecost, and we're exploring the wonder and the work of the Holy Spirit. And perhaps the Holy Spirit isn't something we think quite enough about. After all, you can't really see the Spirit. It's in many ways a mystery, and yet the Spirit beckons us to draw closer, to know and experience the Spirit of God at work in this world around us and in our lives. Our scripture this week is from the Apostle Paul, and he's speaking about life in the Spirit and reminding us who we are and whose we are through that Spirit. And so we're reading this week from the book of Romans, chapter 8. But if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies also through his Spirit that dwells in you. So then, brothers and sisters, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption. When we cry, Abba, Father, it is that very Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If, in fact, we suffer with him so that we may also be glorified with him. This scripture of ours, while perhaps not the most well-known passage of scripture, is from the book of Romans, chapter 8. Which is often considered one of the greatest chapters in the Bible. It's a chapter of scripture all about God's great love for us. It says at the very beginning of Romans 8 that there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. At the very end of the chapter, it reminds us that nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is ours through Christ Jesus. And sandwiched right here in the middle of the chapter is our scripture for today, that which beautifully tells of the amazing work of the Holy Spirit in claiming us as children of God, adopting us as God's own children through the Holy Spirit. This is a surprisingly fitting scripture for us today. I'm not sure we actually purposefully planned it to coincide with this Father's Day weekend, but it's fitting. This affirmation from the Apostle Paul here that we are, no matter who we are, whoever our earthly fathers are, we are all children of our Heavenly Father. When John F. Kennedy was president of the United States, photographers would sometimes capture a kind of a winsome scene. All would gather around the president's desk in the Oval Office, and there would be cabinet members and debating huge matters of worldwide importance. And then meanwhile, there'd be this little toddler, just a two-year-old little boy, John. He was crawling inside the huge presidential desk, and he was oblivious to the White House protocol, oblivious to the important matters being discussed. He was just a little boy spending time with his daddy. And we are children of this great and mighty God, a God who created the world and is still doing amazing work in the world, and we haven't earned a place at God's feet. But just the same, by the Spirit, we are called children of God. Living right here off the Mississippi, you may all be well familiar with the old classic Mark Twain stories of Tom Sawyer, Huckleberry Finn, great stories. As the story goes, if you remember, Huck's biological father was a terrible drunk. He was no true father to him. And Huck had all of the time and all the independence in the world to get into all kinds of trouble. As Mark Twain tells the story, Huckleberry was eventually adopted by the widow Douglas. And she worked hard at loving him and caring for him, which included trying to clean him up a little bit, trying to civilize him a little. And at first, of course, you remember Huck is not terribly thrilled with his new life of cleanliness and manners and going to church and going to school. And he often would sneak off to go have a swim or to get into some trouble. You see, I think it seems to me that he'd become accustomed to the life of being an orphan. And I tell this story not just because it's one of my favorites, but because I think that we can be a little like Huck in this story too sometimes. Been adopted, brought into the family, claimed as a child of God, but squirming a little in that identity of ours. Unsure that we're ready to change for this new life that God calls us into. We're not sure. So sometimes we try to squirm away from it all, try to run away from our loving Father. Everyone needs to know that they belong. It's a basic human need, I think, this need for belonging. And really, we kind of strive to belong our whole lives long and in all kinds of ways, and sometimes not the best of ways. People do all sorts of things to try to fit into society. Kids can do this trying to fit in, buying just the right clothes or just the right shoes. Adults, too, I'm not sure we're really much better. Sometimes our houses or our cars or our lawns can be a sign of our place in the world. We fill our lives with all kinds of things that we hope might give us some sense of belonging. The Apostle Paul warns us in this scripture about not living according to the flesh, but living according to the Spirit. Don't dig deep into the world, to the earthly things, the sinful things this world has to offer. Sometimes we can sadly come to think of ourselves, start to define ourselves by these things of the flesh. It can be a force that drags us down. And that's not God's intention for us. Live not according to the flesh. Live according to the Spirit. Our scripture today says that all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. If Christ is in us, then we've received this Spirit of adoption. God has claimed us as children, and all who are led by the Spirit are children of God. It's not always easy, we know. It's not always easy to live according to the Spirit, to let go, to not be in control, but to let the Spirit take the lead in our lives. It's not always easy. Tony Campolo tells a story about his wife's favorite vacation spot in Ocean City, New Jersey. And they go almost every year, and one of the things that they love to do is to rent bicycles and ride down on the boardwalk. And one afternoon, Tony thought it might be fun to rent a bicycle built for two. And he decided he would sit in the front seat and his wife on the back. But after a while, his wife informed him that she didn't so much like the tandem bike because she couldn't steer it. She couldn't be in control, and she really, really couldn't even see where they were going. And so they traded seats, and from then on, she was in control, and she determined where they went, and she liked it much, much better. But not so much Tony. And so they decided. Maybe they just get separate bikes. It wasn't really for them. And in many ways, that experience on the back seat of the bike, it's kind of a parable about our lives in the Spirit. Each of us, I think, wants to be up front, determining which way we'll go at any given time. That what God wants for each of us is to take the back seat, to allow the Spirit to be in control, to allow God to step in, to claim us as his children, for us to then live accordingly, according to the Spirit. E.E. Cummings once said, "It takes courage to grow up and become who you really are. It takes courage." And that's the real message here. Become who you are. With God's help, become who you really are. We have received a spirit of adoption. In God's great love, he names us and claims us as his own. We are children of God. And God's Spirit then beckons us out of our old lives and into new lives, into new adventures as children of God, led by the Spirit of God. There's an old, probably pretty familiar saying that says, you only know who you are when you realize whose you are. Become who you are, beloved children of God. One of my old professors has told about how for a number of years in his Christian life, he had lived with the assumption that he was just a sinner in the hands of an angry God. People say that sometimes. And in his life, he felt constantly guilty, always ashamed, afraid to go to God with who he really was. Living always with the belief that God didn't really like him. Maybe God tolerates him, he thought, in hopes of improving him, but God didn't really like him. No one had explained to him that the core message of the Christian faith, that God loves us, accepts us as we are. And then one day he had this realization. The Spirit spoke within him and seemed to say, be quiet. Close your eyes. And when he closed his eyes, he saw a lush green field with the grass blowing from side to side. And Jesus was standing there off in the distance and began to walk toward him. And as Jesus got closer, he began pleading once again, I'm sorry, please forgive me. And Jesus never said a word in response. He just kept walking toward him, looking in his eyes. And when he got near, Jesus reached his arms around and hugged him tight. No words were spoken, just the overwhelming feeling of the love of God. And he said that though his Christian life didn't begin at that moment, it had begun years before. His life was totally changed from then on, living not in fear or worry, but living in love, acceptance, living a life that God really has for us. And we just the same are claimed. We are loved, accepted. We are called children of our Heavenly Father. And we're invited to take hold, to grab on tight to that identity that God has given us as God's beloved children. That's who you are. That's who we are. We're not anything else this world might have to say about us, what we may even tell ourselves from time to time. And thank God the Spirit claims us, continues to call us to draw close to God, to follow where he leads, to sit at his feet. And the Spirit is beckoning us into this life, calling us here and now and always to become who we really are. Become who you are, God's beloved children. Amen.